Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. We're four season card holders at Ashton Gate who love the club, the game and all things Bears. It may only have been a friendly, but the Bears are back to winning ways with a 31-12 victory over Welsh rivals Cardiff. Here are our thoughts on this replacement game and the player performances. We also look ahead to Thursday's big game at Ashton Gate as Bristol take on South Africa in front of 27,000 fans. Here are our thoughts on this match and the weekend's Premiership Cup game away at Gloucester. All this and more on this week's show. I'm Tony and I'm joined by Miles and Pete for a cheeky beer and some rugby banter. Well, Miles is hosting. We're at the stately home. Oh, hang on a minute. Yes, please, Jives. Another glass of champagne would be superb. Miles, thanks for hosting.
You're welcome. It's nice to have you around. It's been a while, hasn't it, since you've come down my neck of the woods, and the Duchess has gone away on a long champagne weekend.
Not like her to be away on a weekend.
No, absolutely. She has gone to London for the week, so left me with the children.
For the week?
A whole week.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. So the children are sort of looking after themselves next door and hopefully be quiet.
After me, mate, you are the world's best dad.
And sadly, no Lee today. He's got other commitments, so he can't make it. But Pete, you've joined us.
I have.
Yeah,
yes, you're always here, Tone.
And we were planning to start half an hour earlier, but someone forgot, didn't they?
I forgot. We were supposed to start at 6:30 on account of Miles having to get his kids to bed. I was ambling up the road, saw a WhatsApp message at 6:50 saying, you've forgotten you're coming. So, yeah, many apologies. So I'll have to try and keep it as short as possible, which is not easy.
Well, first of all, I want to start with Pyrogate, because that's certainly been quite a talking point over the last week or so. And Miles, we had a message from the club. I'm not going to use the word apology because I didn't see the word sorry anywhere there. Your thoughts on that message that went out to people?
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite timely, wasn't it? After our little sort of tirade of complaints on the podcast last week. You're right, apology is not the word that springs to mind. In fact, excuse really springs to mind. Some rather half-hearted excuse as to why the fireworks went on the Atio, weather-dependent. I mean, I'm not going to, this is a family show, so I'm not going to use many expletives, but it's absolute cock and bull, the excuse the club came out with. And I just feel it is not good enough just to say, not to say sorry, that's all. Other than just making feeble excuses, really, I think we chatted about this. The PR team at Bristol Bears is phenomenal. Players, little films, etc. But they're a little bit on the back foot, I hate to say, with things like this. When things don't go quite right in games and what fans expect, then they're a little bit lacking in giving information. So I thought that excuse wasn't really good enough, in my opinion.
No, Pete, your thoughts as well. Because, I mean, if that was the situation, that there was a problem with the weather and they couldn't light the ones on the dolmen, they've got two announcers there with microphones before and after, during the game. They've got big screens. Surely they should have just told us on the day.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think we all think that. I mean, having said that, we can't hear anything in the dolmen anyway, can we? The PA system's so rubbish. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a bit of an own goal. And I mean, I'm saying that they were going to do it off the Atio and the dolmen, but then only did it on the dolmen, the higher of the two stands, just kind of rings. And I think the fact that all they offered was an appreciation of our disappointment was kind of, that's all right. That's very, very sort of, very politician-like. And I just got the feeling that the thing had been written by, I don't know, somebody maybe on a sort of training scheme, because they referred to the pyrotechnic firework display twice in that. And I thought, why just call them fireworks? Because that's what most people would say. Absolutely. It just made me think that it was somebody who wasn't really quite on the ball writing that thing. So it's gone. It was, I think most people would agree that it was a bit of a disaster. They've not really apologised, but at least they've acknowledged that there must have been some pretty bit of an outroar amongst many fans, and it wasn't just us ranting on it on the pod. There was a lot of people, you know, on other forms of media. So I think this is clear. I hate to say it, boys, but this is where there has to be some serious learnings from the marketing department about overhyping and underselling.
Yeah, under-delivering, absolutely. Under-delivering,
yeah.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk some rugby. On Friday night, it was Armistice Day, the Remembrance Day, so it was nice for fans to be able to show their respect for that at the game. It was a friendly fixture that had been arranged. And actually, I think this is the first time that all four of our seats in the Dolmen were empty because... Lee couldn't make the game anyway. I got stuck in London and didn't get back till about 8:30 and then decided I wouldn't come down for a bit of the second half. And Miles and Pete, you were hobnobbing it in the Lansdowne hospitality.
We were on the corporate.
We were.
Yeah. No, very, very, very kindly given the opportunity to have a meal before the game and sit in the Lansdowne, thanks to the father of one of my colleagues at school. So cheers, Mark, if you're listening. And yeah, it was very nice. It was very pleasant. And it actually... being able to sit, we pretty much sat opposite where we normally sit, although then we moved because there weren't that many. There was quite a lot of empty seats, to be fair. So we kind of sat right on the halfway line in the Lansdowne, just behind the kind of player areas. And actually, it was really interesting seeing the game from a totally different perspective. And not just the position we were in, but also kind of being able to see some of the conversations that were going on the benches and, you know, being sort of speculating on what the mood was like and who was coming on and so on. So, yeah, it was really nice. It was nice. So we were there, boys. I mean, there weren't a lot of fans there, to be fair. I think even given that it was arranged as a replacement fixture for the Worcester one for season ticket holders, really... I think quite a few season ticket holders voted with their feet or couldn't, you know, already made arrangements. But you know, it was nice, and it was actually a real stress-free night, really, and game of rugby.
Yeah, and I was quite surprised when I saw the team sheet that came out. We were speculating that it was likely to be more of a B team. Certainly, you know, we had the two Ben Solomon boys in the front row, but actually the likes of Holmes and Joyce, who I know didn't then play, Batley, Harding, Bradby, Porter, Ibatoye, and I thought it was a much stronger team on paper. Now, we know that Johan Lloyd, who was due to play 10, and he and Joyce had to step out with Williams coming in at 10 and Hawkins at 5. But let me come to you, Miles. Then after your prawn sandwiches and your whatever you were drinking, your Chablis, when you took your seats, your thoughts on that first half, really? The Bears seemed to get stuck into it quite quickly.
Well, absolutely. You say quite quickly. It took us 3 minutes to score, didn't it? I think Pete and I were so relaxed about the occasion. We were just sort of finishing our second bottle of Chablis. And then, lo and behold, I think there'd been a darting run, hadn't there? And we'd scored. Yeah. So, actually, it was quite encouraging the first half. It was... just a very relaxed environment, and you sort of turned your head and there was another score. I mean, there were some great darting runs. I thought Porter played particularly well, came in at 9, he did some nice kicks, some nice runs, and I think after not very long, sort of 15-20 minutes, we were already about sort of 19-7 up, weren't we? One score by Cardiff, but some good tries by Bristol.
Yeah, I agree. Time. I mean, I nearly choked over my foie gras when I saw the first try go in so quickly after what we'd seen against Saracens a week before. But yeah, it was a good first half, actually. I mean, Porter was able to do proper scrum half things like pass it and stuff like that, and didn't kick it that much, and scored a great little sniping try. I mean, he cemented the idea that we discussed last week that he is a very good scrum half, and I don't think he did anything to detract from the fact that he could well be our starting nine at the moment. Although I've got to say, I did mention to you boys that one of the things being behind the subs bench is that we did observe Andy Arend in the first half, who was sub. just constantly moving. He cannot, that boy cannot keep still. And you could see that he was spinning the ball and he wouldn't sit down. He was sort of looking into the crowd, trying to catch the eye of little kids who wanted to sort of wave at him. And he was always going up to the coaches and having a word in their ear. You could see he was sort of saying, oh, when am I getting on? When am I getting on? It was hilarious. I've never seen. So, and he did come on and he played well in the second half, Andy. But yeah, first half good. Joe Jenkins scored, I think. I think Harry Ashall was at centre. They acquitted themselves well, I think, because they were up against two quite big units in the Cardiff centres. And then we had Ibatoye and Bailey on the wing. And it was nice to see both of them get a little bit more of the ball compared to the week before. But the one thing I was a bit disappointed about was when we did get into attacking positions, we just basically played it through the forwards. And we scored a couple of rolling ball tries. And I thought, well, this is not really what I've come to see. After last week, I was expecting a little bit more adventure, a bit more expansive, particularly when we were in their 22. And unfortunately, that was a bit disappointing. I didn't really feel that Ibatoye or Bailey really got the ball in, running onto the ball in space in a dangerous position. They got the ball quite a lot when we were in the sort of midfield. But so that was my one disappointment. It kind of made me think, is this where we're going with the club at the moment? We are regressing to be a bit more of a forwards game plan club, because we've seen the likes of Gloucester, seen the likes of Leicester, who have been down at the bottom, kind of resurrect themselves over the last couple of seasons through a forwards game plan. And I do wonder whether the kind of ideology of throwing it around that Pat kind of came with, to a certain extent, is now being tempered a little bit, and we're getting a slightly more pragmatic ideology. And if we couldn't throw it around in a friendly against Cardiff, I just think that was my slight disappointment, really. And it didn't really get much better in the second half. In fact, it got scrappier in the second half, to be honest.
Yeah. So it was tries by Ashall, Kerr, Porter, and Joe Jenkins in that first half. Bristol went in at the break 24-7. And then Miles, I think Thacker got a late try for Bristol. But other than that, I think there was the one unconverted Cardiff score. So a bit of a dull second half, was it?
It was. It was pretty unmemorable. I don't really remember much at all, to be honest with you. I mean, the encouraging thing was that we emptied the bench and everyone, pretty much on that bench got some game time. Which was good to see, some players we hadn't seen before, Ashall, and Tull, etc.
Morgan Eames.
Even came on. Who actually?
He was obviously keen, because we haven't seen much of him, and he was a bit like Andy Arend on the bench. He had ants in his pants, and he was punching himself as he was warming up. And
he was that keen. He knocked himself out.
And
we were talking about. We were worried the stretcher was going to come on.
That's
right. Later, hard as nails, dusted himself off and ran off up to the other end of the pitch and carried on, didn't he?
Yeah, so I mean, maybe that was part of the reason it got scrappier in the second half, which was all the changes. And we had a couple of people come back on because people get injured. So quite sadly, worryingly, Jack Bates went on for about a minute and then got smashed and came off straight away holding his shoulder. And although you wouldn't necessarily say Jack Bates is a first team regular, he is definitely a first team 23 probable. And actually, when you see another injury like that, you wonder. But I hope he looked okay, but he was holding his shoulder. So let's hope he's okay as well.
But then Holmes obviously came off quite early, didn't he?
Yeah.
He wasn't quite sure what happened to him. He was sort of like wanting to come off.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So I'm hoping maybe for Thursday's games, he's all right. And I thought Batley had another great game. He certainly seems to be cementing himself well into the pack, doesn't he?
Do you think he's earned a picture then on the big screen? Is the jury out and he's still a silhouette?
Clearly not. I mean, there was two things to mention about this game that were poor. One of them was the fact they still haven't sorted out the pictures. So I can't believe they haven't done that after how much Lee ranted about that last week. Mm. And the second thing was the match day announcer. The stadium announcer it was quite extraordinary. Now, I've read subsequently that it's a guy that does it at the Flyers, at the basketball. But it was like going into some sort of American... I said to Miles, it was like listening to someone who's a YTS training bingo caller. It was very, you know, there was a delay on any information, and then it was a really kind of drawly, kind of getting names wrong. I mean, it was absolute village.
I guess
the highest order.
There was no sort of cameras or TMO. He got the try score.
Which was
probably not his fault, to be honest with
but
you.
It, the whole delivery just got, but it got even slower and slower. As the he almost. I think he started kind of thinking it was all about him rather. And I did a lot of people on social media mention the stadium announcer being an absolute joke. And again, I mean, I wrote the post article this for Monday, sort of, you know, commenting on this whole situation with match day experience and so forth, and I think I just felt that they hyped this game up as the Battle of the Bridge, Anglo-Welsh kind of rivalry for season ticket holders essentially, but they didn't really put on a normal game like you'd expect. I then mentioned on Twitter, I think, where's Downsy, where's Slick? You know, if we turn up, we'd expect a similar thing. And then someone told me Downsy's in Qatar for the World Cup. So I don't know whether our local commercial radio is obviously doing well. But so I thought, OK, fair enough. But so they'd obviously pull this guy in. I mean, it felt like last minute. And it was kind of amusing. Until you thought, well, it's taken the mickey a little bit. It's just, again, it's taken the fans for mugs a little bit here. But having said that, the queues were brilliant. There was no queues. Nothing ran out. Well, our prawn sandwiches didn't run out. It's actually very pleasurable. When there's no... It's a sort of catch-22. When there's not that many people at the gate, it's actually quite pleasurable. There's no queues.
What you're saying, let's get back in the championship.
I've
got to say, and a big friend of the pod was a bit upset. He knows who he is, was a little bit upset about the numbers of people that didn't come there. He's a big South Stand boy. And actually, I've got to say, I thought the South Stand did a good job. There was some good noise coming from the South Stand. They were the ones that really tried to raise it. So
lots of grunting.
A lot of bristling. And I fair play to them, because the atmosphere was pretty flat. There's no doubt about
flat
it.
Flat as a dab.
Flat as a dab, yeah. So, but the South Standers did their best. And it was the most populous stand as well. So fair play to them.
There we go. So look at the player performances then. Miles, maybe if you look at the forwards and Pete, the backs. Who stood out for you on Friday night?
Let's have a look. I thought Joe Kerr was looking pretty lively, wasn't he? You forget he's got quite a pace on him. He was sort of throwing in on them all and then quickly sort of diving into the back. So I was quite impressed with him.
And got a try, didn't he?
And got a try.
Yeah.
And as it was well with the Ben Solomon brothers, I think they did actually a pretty good job actually in the first half. One got substituted in the second half. They were good. Holm, as we've said, sadly got subbed off. Joycey didn't play. I think it came on who started really.
Harding. Bradbury was playing as well.
Bradbury and Harding, weren't they?
A solid back row.
Actually, Harding at Bradbury at 8 was in his correct position. Yes. Looked encouraging and lively.
Again, they've heard us talking about it last weekend.
Yeah.
Harding, we only found out subsequently, was captain on the night.
We didn't know
he was captain, because when Joyce obviously pulled out, the announcer didn't bother telling us. So we were wondering who the captain was, and it was Fitz Harding.
There we are.
I think I saw something about Joyce. I think wasn't it a slight calf niggle?
He turned up to support the boys, didn't he?
So hopefully that's more of a precautionary thing. I think Lloyd, they've talked about being a few weeks out.
I think so, haven't they? I thought the pack were great and came on Jan Thomas and Tyak again. Good scrummages, didn't they?
We speculated about Tyak being a proper Cornish scrummager.
Past him,
but we didn't really see from the Dolman, we didn't really see him from the Lansdowne, Tone. Could see him.
He's a unit, isn't he?
He looks like he's mean.
He's a three pass pregame.
He looks like he's got he doesn't care about pyrotechnics. He doesn't care about battles. What he cares about is getting his head almost just parallel with his hips and pushing hard. That's what he cares about. Big. Although again, the announcer called him Jake Tyack. That is a shocker, isn't it?
Oh dear. Okay, so what about the backs? Who had a good game?
Yeah, well, Porter. Yeah, I mean, Porter looked good. I like Porter. Williams played the full 80, and I thought looked very, very solid. Looked like that little YouTube clip we saw of him playing for Hartbury when he was signed, and I thought he looks like he knows it. He was kind of like, you know, like Rich Lane. You look at him, think he's learned his trade in the lower reaches, and he does the simple things well, and he did. And I was kind of surprised me that he hasn't appeared earlier. Actually, I thought he did really well. I thought
really
he kicked
now.
Well.
He kicked well.
He just looked comfortable in that position. So happy there. And then we had Ashall and Joe Jenkins, and again Jenkins scored. Jenkins, I think, was great for him to have another opportunity. Again, for whatever he is, 19, 20, doesn't look out of place at all. He's a big lad, big strong lad. And I think this is the thing, is that we worry about the moment. At the moment, we're down in the dumps. We're not winning games. We're struggling. But we've talked about the fact that actually we probably peaked too early in the 5-year plan, and we are starting to see some decent young lads coming through. And Diego Bailey, another one. He doesn't look out of place at this level.
Yeah.
I mean, who else came on? We had Bailey and we had Ibatoy. Again, Ibatoy looked lively. I mean, he looks Premiership quality. Although he did, the one time in the second half he did get the ball at pace in their half, he bloomin' dropped it. So he's obviously he still hasn't quite got rid of the dropping the ball virus that has gone around the camp since the beginning of the season. Mm. So yeah, and then I think the second half it was difficult. I perhaps would have liked to have seen a few more first phase moves through the backs when we had lineouts and scrums, in their half. I just felt it, again, goes back to what I said before, it just felt like there is a general feeling that our game plan is forward focused now, and we pick on scraps. And it was disappointing in that respect. Maybe they were trying and just couldn't get out there. So, I can't think who came on in the back. We had, because Bates came on, then went off again.
Rich Lane came on. He looked lively.
Rich Lane came back on, so he was looking light. He looked fit. Andy Wren, of course, came on and spanned the ball around many times and, couldn't sit down. And actually, Andy came on, and I thought he was quite quick. He was passing the ball pretty quick off the base of the ruck. It was good. It was nice. And we said it was a bit like going to a Premiership rugby game where you've got no real pressure and not worry too much. And you kind of...
Premiership
is a bit like a Premiership Cup game where you don't really care and you like to see some young players. So on that respect, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And we should mention Harry Thacker got a late try as well.
Yes, he did.
Thacks is back. He's starting to accumulate a few tries now, which has got to be
dynamic.
Got to be good. Okay, well, it was a friendly weekend for us. There were four games that were played, and they were Bath 19, Leicester 18. That's three on a trot now for Bath, and they're above us in the league. Gloucester 21, Newcastle 27. That's a big win away from home for Newcastle. Exeter 22, London Irish 17. And then today on Sunday, a bit of a humdinger. It was Saracens 45, Saints 39. And I think Sarri scored two converted tries in the last 8 minutes to take that. So unfortunately, when you look at the league table, bottom are Irish, played 7, 10 points. And then Bristol played 7, 13 points. And then above us, Newcastle played 7, 13 points. So things starting to look a little bit concerning as far as league form is concerned. And just before we came on air, I was chatting with Miles, and it might be a good time actually just to quickly talk about this. You know, where we are in the season, what's that, about a third of the season gone now? What's your aspirations for where we might finish come May, Miles?
Well, it's not great. I think that's what we were chatting about, really. I feel like downgrading my prediction already on, really, I think I may have suggested about seventh. And lo and behold, as a Bristol fan, I hate to say this, but I'm struggling to see where the next win is going to come from in the Premiership. I really am. And it's really sad as a fan. It really is.
I'm struggling to see where the next game in the Premier League
is. Well, absolutely. I can see your point there because the fixtures have changed, which we'll chat about. I know we've got a lot of great players coming back from injury, and I'm sure things will get a lot better. We're in a bit of a rut at the moment, and we just wish all the best for the club, but things ain't looking rosy at the moment.
So your seventh place, do you think higher or lower?
I think we're going to slide down.
Yeah.
There are no bad teams in that league. Worcester sadly have gone, and we may have usually predicted a home and away win there. So that's gone. Wasps, we were fantastic. We won away, but that win was scrapped, wasn't it? Unfortunately. And other teams are, at the moment, their form is improving, and ours is not.
So what are you going to say then? If it was seventh in September, what's your prediction now?
Well, there's only 11 teams left in the league now, aren't there? Yeah. I mean, goodness, 10th. It's a bit of a sad state of affairs, to be honest with you. And let's just see where we are for the next third of the season.
Pete, you and I both said sixth.
Sixth, yeah. I mean, that's clearly unrealistic now. I really think... I
think you say that though. Did I see Quinns in third have only won two more games than us?
Mm. And actually, we do get Lualago, Pietau, Randrandra, Luatua, Genji, Sinclair back at some point, round before the Six Nations. The trouble is, I just think it's difficult. I think we're getting into a rut. You know, we are clearly our confidence is low, and I think it's going to be hard. I mean, we've got Leicester at home next. Now they sail away first, and then which is going to be tough. Mm. We've got Leicester at home after that, who have ironically have found the same problems we had last season. Mm. They're struggling to maintain that kind of high expectations, but I mean, we know that they've got some great young players, and they've got one over on us. So it is, and then we haven't got a Premiership, we haven't got a game for ages, have we? So, it kind of depends really on what happens on these next two, because I think we will be stronger in the new year. I think we inevitably have to be stronger if we get injuries these players back. So if we can nick a few points from Sale and Leicester and sort of keep ourselves treading water at least. Keep ourselves in the hunt, but I genuinely think eighth.
You're
see what you say there.
You're
going to get. I'm going eighth.
Long time to get there.
I think Falcons and Irish we can, and I think we might. I like to think we'll be above Bath as well.
Well, the players that they've signed, God knows how far they were below the cap to be able to bring in some of these players, and Barbary's reportedly there as well.
I think they offloaded a lot of people. I think they were below the cap. I mean, there's no people have said, "Oh, have they fallen?" It's like they clearly have, because the salary cap manager will see all this stuff. It's fairly obvious. It's just like a spreadsheet. So.
Well, I've got a theory. Do you remember the great film? I think it was from. I think it was the 80s, was it Escape to Victory?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember, was it someone had to have their arms snapped to allow Sylvester Stallone to play a goal? I think we'll get to January and they'll realise they've overspent.
Yeah.
So someone in the changing room is going to have to put their arm on the bench and that's it, so they can be out injured and get the credits. Well, I said sixth and I think... I think sixth is the absolute best we can target. I think I'm still going to stay with you, Pete. I think eighth.
I think could we just sneak us into Europe if they don't change it.
Well, we'll be in the Challenge Cup for sure, but I doubt very much.
They're not going
to. I would see that they would maybe go back to more of a regular type Champions Cup, but. Yeah, I think Pat is now going to prioritise maybe the Challenge Cup.
Yeah.
Because, those games will start mid-December. We'll have a few more players back fit.
Yeah.
Actually, you look at, Perpignan and Zebre, is it, Zebre, that we're playing?
Yeah.
A reasonably fit team that's playing okay should be able to be up for that challenge. And I do wonder whether that will be quite a focus now to try and go as far as we possibly can in that competition.
Sure.
Right. Okay. You're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Buzzsprout, and many more platforms. You can contact us with your comments and ideas by email at bearsbeyondthegate@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at bearsbeyondgate. And on Facebook, you can like and follow our Bears Beyond the Gate page. Next up, and you know, who would have thought would have been saying this at the start of the season? It is Bristol Bears versus South Africa. Or a South Africa 15,
yeah.
Should I say. A sold-out gate. It was quite interesting. I was on the club website, I think it was on Friday, and it said it was still tickets for sale. And I thought, that's odd. So I went in, and there was one bit of the ground that wasn't shaded out. And I went there, and there was one ticket left. There was a single ticket, and I think in the family stand, which must have been sold now. Quite an occasion, Miles. 27,000 Thursday night down at the gate. We know the Springboks played Munster, I think, yeah, this Thursday. Munster won that one quite comfortably, but there were, of the 15 players I think that started for the Springboks, 14 were capped internationals, fully capped internationals. Having said that, we're not exactly Munster this season, are we?
No.
Your first of all, your thoughts about the game and the, you know, tell me, you know, is there a lot of anticipation in you about coming to see this?
There was. At the beginning of the season, I think, when this marvellous sort of match was marketed by the club. And, you know, to be fair, we all got on board very quickly, didn't we?
Yep.
And secured our tickets. I might as well go dig my email out, yeah, which is probably months old now.
Well, that's a good point, because they're not on the cards, are they?
No, you've actually got to...
Oh my God, can you imagine the queues then on Thursday night if everyone's got to scan a paper ticket?
Absolutely. So there were some knowns and there's some unknowns and there's some unknown knowns and etc. So what we know is that we shan't be bothering to get a beer on Thursday night, shall we?
Not in the ground.
Not in the ground on the sellout crowd. We know that we're not going to bother to get a pasty because there potentially might be one. What we don't know is what sort of team South Africa are going to send on Thursday. But like you said, TC, that it's marketed as a huge sellout event. I think it would be poor form for both sides to send out a second string team. So I'm hoping, in some shape or form, for a ferocious match with some big, big South African units, certainly some caps amongst them, and vice versa, the same for Bristol. I think it's a great spectacular. North Street's going to be absolutely buzzing. The ground's going to be buzzing. So for Bristol Bears and the local economy, this should be a superb event.
Yeah, I mean, I was speculating when this game was first announced that we might see one or two first team Springbok players because they were only playing Italy away. But of course, Italy have probably hit the best form, yep, that they've had for a decade. Yeah. I mean, comfortably beating Fiji and then beating Australia for the first time, yep, at the weekend. So, you know, do you think the Boks will be tempted to mix it up a little bit because it is, and I use inverted commas, only Italy away? Or do you think we're pretty much going to see the midweek team that were fielded against Munster?
I think realistically we'll see a predominantly midweek team. And I think any fans that think otherwise, when you saw that first advertiser, the Thursday night game before a full international, you'd be a bit deluded to think you're going to see the likes of Willie LaRue and Esteban and stuff like that, and the bomb squad. But, you know, maybe a smattering of them. Mm. I think from our point of view, we need to put out the strongest side we possibly can in the context of the sail away game that's coming the week after. And I did see something slightly worrying in the Bristol Post where Pat was talking about, I think he even quoted, say his main priority is the sale game. So, and Randrandra, there was some speculation that Randrandra might be fit, but realistically, Pat was saying he ain't going to play against the Springboks because he's looking, he's got a thing. And I don't know whether he was misquoted, but I was slightly disappointed that he said that our priority was the Sale game. I thought, no, hang on. I know it is kind of, I know what you're saying because that's the big picture, but the club have hyped up a huge game. A sellout, and they cannot afford to get it wrong on and off the pitch, particularly in the context of the last couple of weeks. Now, nobody's expecting us to put out a completely full side, but I think there has to be a little bit of a balance here that we need to put out a strong side. And I don't, not really worry about what the South Africans are going to do, because we want to be cheering our boys scoring against a world championship winning national team. So I'd be disappointed. It's a difficult, I think Pat's a bit kind of can't win it either way, to be fair to him. It's a difficult time, but he must have been part of the meeting that sat down and planned this thing, and they've got to deliver something for us. So I hope we'll be strong, and whatever South Africa throw at us, they'll be
decent.
Yeah, so of course. And just seeing the green and gold adorning, I like to think they're playing that and not some sort of rancid away kit. I mean, you imagine that they rock up in some sort of pink number, their third kit,
because absolutely.
They've forgotten to put it on the coach.
I'm just hoping that they'll be just built on galore for Sale on Thursday night.
You would have thought so, but. Mobile built-on vans. All these. What we need is lads going round. They have the mobile lager things, Lion lagers,
exactly.
Built-on hanging off it. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think my perspective is, I think we'll see the strongest possible Bears team on Thursday, unless there's anybody with little niggles or who aren't quite right.
Yeah.
Then that's fair enough
that's
for the Sale game.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be the strongest possible team. And, we've talked about some marketing mishaps with fireworks and stuff. You're going to get 27,000 fans here. Lots of them maybe not club rugby supporters. Yeah. And it's a golden opportunity to really try and get things right, not only on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. And we joke about the beers and things, but I do hope they are taking that into account and they are putting on some extra facilities for food, for drink.
And staff.
And just to make it a really good experience. But I forgot that we're all there with paper tickets. And one thing if you're queuing up season cards, you can just slap them on top of the turnstiles and you go through straight away. The paper card tickets often take a while to scan. So certainly my advice for people is don't leave it to the last minute to try and get in the ground, because there could be some huge queues.
You see, I mean, they banked, 27,000, tickets. What do we pay?
Exactly.
40 quid?
Something like
that. It's a lot of cash in banks for this.
If you take an average of 30, that's about 800,000.
And I'm just
pounds.
Thinking about what you're saying, Tony, about have they done anything to encourage fans to get into the ground a little bit earlier? Entertainment or something like that, and actually, no, clearly not, because the worry, you're right, is that there'll be a surge of people coming in the last 20 minutes or so, and not in a dangerous sense, but in a barcode scanning sense, you're right. And actually, could they have thought that through a little bit and thought we need something going on the pitch to encourage some fans in early, kids or something?
Fireworks?
I was going to say they've got some Dolman fireworks left over, haven't they?
Yeah.
Or they probably sent them back, Sale or return.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but it is right. There are lots of people. I've got colleagues in work that have never been to a Bears game that are coming to this one. And it is a golden opportunity to get people, enamoured with the club, the stadium, with Bristol Bears. And I just hope we make the most of it. And, let's hope we see a really competitive game. Because, again, the last thing you want is to be on the hiding in front of 27,000 fans. But let me come to you then, Pete, maybe to think who you think might start in the pack. And then, Miles, if you have a look at the backs, bearing in mind the current injuries and the people that are away.
Actually, it makes me think of what I said last week of... Jay Tyack, not getting a look in at Worcester, finds himself unemployed. Then he's starting against the league leaders, and now he could be starting against Saracens,
the world champions.
Yeah. I'm thinking that's a story.
It's rags to riches, isn't it?
I mean, oh, we didn't mention there is going to be a programme, didn't we?
Oh, well, I was going to come on to that.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah. So, you know, I'm almost thinking I'd like to see Jay Tyack's, like, his story in there, because, I mean, what I'm saying is I think he's going to start.
ain't going to happen. They ain't got a picture of him.
No, of course. Yeah, well, like, they grew it up. I mean, you know, they could just go down Jefferson Studios on West Street and get them done there. I mean, that's where I get my passport photos done.
Well, it's about half
a mile from Ashton Gate. I mean, there's no excuse. So yeah, I think we're going to have to go. I mean, I think Thacker, if he's fit and got no niggles, like you say, I think it'd be a great game for Thacker to play.
Mm.
You know, he deserves it. He deserves to be seen on the big stage. And then, you know, Big Jake, I suppose, at loose, Jan Thomas, you know, it depends, because Jan came on, didn't he, in the second half,
and
it's all right. You know, he deserves it. I mean, you start looking at proper, I mean, that's a good story, a proper BS3, an Ashton Park old boy, starts against South Africa. So I'd like to think maybe Thomas Thacker, Tyack, Joycey, if it was a precautionary. I mean, that's another big story. We need Joycey in his last year.
And he will be so desperate to play.
And he'll be captain if he's starting. And then I think Batley's earned himself the right to start again if he's not niggled. And then again, I mean, Bradbury, he looked good. I mean, he's not playing in all two internationals. You know, it's his recompense for not getting picked by Scotland. He could pay. And I think Harding, and Lewis came on actually in the second half.
We
don't know what Heenan's position is, but I imagine Heenan's got to be in a shout because, you know, for rewards for all of his hard work that he's done for Pat over the years. So any combination, I think Bradbury at 8, Harding, I think, and then one of Heenan, Lewis.
Or even Dan Thomas,
yeah. who played as well and came on. But yeah, I mean, it just seems a bit out of favour at the moment. But yeah, so that'd be a nice little pack.
Yeah, and your thoughts on the backs then? Who might start against the box?
Well, I think from what we saw the previous week and on Friday night, I think Will Porter.
I just think maybe Andy Arend deserves
a start,
a bit more respect.
On the bench.
150 appearances plus for the Bears. Local lad. You know, there's not a huge amount of difference.
No.
Porter might start against Sale because we need, but I think I'd quite like to see Ian, just because I feel sorry for him. He'd be so busy
spinning
on the bench.
The ball,
yeah, his fingers would be so sore.
I think you're right. I'm afraid I have to agree with Pete, which is a rarity.
Yes.
The local lad should deserve a start. Baby Porter on the bench. I mean, Sheedy's got to be at number 10. We thought William did a great job on Friday night, and with a lack of backup really in that area, with Lloyd now injured, I suspect Williams will be on the bench with McGinty on international duty. Ibitoy has done enough to suitably impress me with his speed and pace and his tackling ability. He just needs to get the ball out wide. I think, you know, Bedloe, we need some big units, don't we? We're not going to muck around the South Africans. Bedloe back in the centre. Is O'Connor injured?
He was.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how he is this week, because Jenkins fitted in, didn't he? That's quite a responsibility for a young pair of shoulders, isn't it, against South Africa?
Good story, though.
But a good story for your local lad. Purdy was there on Friday night.
Purdy came on.
Yeah, he didn't. I mean,
didn't have much chance
to impress, really. But he's, you know, he's Piston Purdy. He's a big unit, but as is Bailey. And I think that's a hard call to make, to be honest with you, between Bailey starting and Purdy starting.
I'd go Purdy just for maybe slight seniority.
Yeah.
But I think Bailey should.
He's done enough to be on the bench on the 23. And Morahan, we had a little tweak of his ankle, didn't he? And he certainly didn't feature on Friday night. So if he's not 100% fit and is hopefully getting back for the Sale game, Rich Lane came on and was like lightning. So
what about the new lad? Because that was one person we didn't speak about.
Yeah, he looked tidy. He didn't do anything particular. I mean, he played in the half that was more exciting, And he spoke well after the game.
There was he caught a few high balls, didn't he?
He looked comfortable. He looked, know, he's a good player. Mm. It's hard. He did, obviously didn't do anything major because he didn't quite stick out. I'd forgotten he was there for a while. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he would hold his hand up and say there are others that deserve to be in front of him.
Slightly happier if Rich Lane's if Charles Piatow is still nursing his staples on his nose, then
I wouldn't fancy going up against the Springboks.
Then I think I'd like to see Rich Lane start at 15.
I think Lane, I mean, Heward may be featuring the Premiership Cup game on the following Saturday, and then who knows, if he could be in contention for a bench on the Sale game. But
It was interesting. I was out and about this morning, and I saw a semi having a latte.
Hobbling?
He wasn't hobbling. He didn't have his wellies on either. No. He'd rather fetch a pair of red trainers.
I thought semi could definitely be a velvet loafer sort of man with those socks that you can't see. But it looks.
Well, I was expecting a double espresso, but a milky latte.
Okay.
But I do wonder whether. I wonder whether he is fit, but the fact, I don't know if it works like it does with the football. If you've pulled out of the national squad because you're injured, then it's difficult to play for your club, especially in a friendly. Well, Fiji have still got matches. So
I think we'll see him.
I wonder if he's all right. But Pat said, actually, we're not, you weren't fully fit for the autumn internationals at the start. I'm not going to, I can't play you because I don't want you to go off for Fiji.
And also, here, look how many games you've played. How much your salaries. I think you need to...
We might keep you for the Sale game. Well, it's going to be a fabulous night. As we said, there's a programme, £6.50 match programme. Bit steep.
It's gone up between
gone up from the £3 or what it was.
Supply chain issues, Tom. Paper costs.
Yeah, £6.50 match programme. You can order in advance or get on the day. And also, if you can't make the game or you couldn't get a ticket, it is going to be on Bears TV for £4.99.
Now, more interestingly, who's going to be the co-commentator on that, do you think? Because, I mean, Lahiff could be because he's injured. Because they'll have some sort of player... Sort of Capon did it, didn't he? I think, or did Capon get involved? I think they got to think about that as well.
Absolutely.
Joker in there.
No. And who's going to be the commentator? I'm hoping that they are going to get is it going to be someone that regularly? Or
Nick Mullins?
They've got all the internationals, haven't they? Yeah. So yeah, well, the Flats would fancy it.
Flats would fancy it. He's maybe. He used to love it. He had a lot of love for Bristol when we were winning, didn't he?
Yeah. So, no, that'll be interesting. But on Bears TV...
Maybe Bobby Skinstad.
There we are.
Could get a curveball South African in.
Yeah. Okay. So, I'll see all you boys down there at the gate on Thursday.
Absolutely.
And then on the following Saturday the 19th, it's Gloucester versus Bristol in the Premiership Cup. A 3 p.m. kickoff. I'm saying it's King's Home. I'm assuming it's King's Home. I think it will be on their plastic pitch. I don't think we're going to spend too much time talking about this, but it really is going to be a B team, really, isn't it? Maybe people that come on for 10 minutes off the bench for South Africa. I can't see, unless Pat wants to give someone a slightly less stressful 45 minutes if they're coming back from injury. But I think that will be largely a complete second string team. Yeah. And knowing how good Gloucester were in the Premiership Cup against us last season, that could be quite a difficult game. Anyway, let's be hopeful for the Bears can get something out of that. That's a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. And then it's England versus New Zealand at 5:30. So certainly if... there are one or two Bears fans that go to the game, it's quite a good afternoon of rugby. One of the bits of news that we had this week, Miles, was that the fixtures for the second half of the season have been rearranged now. Really, it's not done Bristol any favours because we're still without a game on the 1st of January. Yeah. We're the one that gets the bye. And then, lo and behold, the game against Bath is now scheduled the away game in the league for Saturday the 25th of February. And we've got a fixture on the Friday the 24th of February away at Cardiff. So we miss out on a big Christmas, New Year payday. And also now one of those friendlies has become a little bit meaningless, really, because we'll have to send a complete second string team. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's not great. I think we were chatting about this before that we recorded the pod, that we were sort of quite looking forward to a little jaunt over to Cardiff on a Friday night, and I think all four of us are up for it. However, our plans have been scuppered somewhat. The fact that we're now going to see a Premiership Cup team sent to Cardiff, and clearly we've got to reserve our first team and our strongest side to go to Bath the next day. So I don't quite know what's broken down, really, the communication between the club and Premiership Rugby, knowing we had this already in the diary and now I've got Bath the next day. It's a bit disappointing, and yeah, it's put a bit of a damp squid of the Battle of the Bridge, more like a sort of, I don't know, Battle of the Tunnel now that I'm not really have any interest in going to.
But Battle of the Mud Flats.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So not great. And I think the New Year's Day, now there's no game. Obviously, you know, we were all aware that was going to happen, weren't we? The demise of Wasps. And it's just unfortunate. One of the biggest games of the year for Bristol, a huge money spinner, has gone by the bye. I haven't looked at the other fixtures, but you know, I think Premiership Rugby could have been a little bit more clever with their fixtures. We've argued in the past that they could have played some more Premiership Cup matches, haven't they? Couldn't soon as during the Six Nations, but maybe that just hasn't happened.
Sadly. Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it, now with Wasps' demise. Ashton Gate is the biggest stadium in the Premiership, Pete. You know, you would have thought it would have been a 20,000-plus game there, whoever we played in the league. But the question I want to ask you is, should the Bears now look to try and get a friendly fixture for the 1st of January? Or actually, you know, if we look at the attendance for the game on Friday, actually, is it worth paying double time for everybody to work there and maybe get 8,000 or 9,000?
No, I don't think so. And actually, I wouldn't. I think I wouldn't want them to. I think we've accepted it now. We can all have a bit of a relaxing day on New Year's Day, lie in, you know, watch telly, whatever, with a few films and whatnot. Having said that, they've got to do something, haven't they? Because that's another season ticket game that we've paid for.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not sure whether another friendly is necessarily a good, particularly good.
How about a bit of credit?
I was going to say, there are other options of reimbursement and just paying us back some money would be one, but I understand that that's not so obvious, but and also some credit. So I don't know, we'll find out.
Yeah. And you know, it does, who could possibly we play as well, because you would imagine all the Welsh teams have got their big derby scheduled.
I think it's a no. I think it's a no-brainer. It's just it's a shame, because we're not going to have a home Premiership game until something like mid to late February, aren't we? Because there's European games and stuff. So after Leicester on December the 3rd, we don't have a home Premiership game until February. I mean, we do have a home European game.
A couple of European games.
Which are on the season cards, and that's great. But it's kind of, it is interesting. So, but they've got to do something.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see how that pans out. The next thing I wanted to talk about was the heartbreak that was Saturday morning. With the Red Roses being the dominant team in world rugby for 3 years, and then losing out 34 points to 31 to New Zealand in the Women's Rugby World Cup final. Pete, I think you got up like me early. Did you see it, Mark?
I was working, so I just saw the result, unfortunately.
And of course, we had Sarah Byrne at 3, Abby Ward at 5, 2 Bristol Bears started, and then Lark Davis, hooker, was on the sub. Pete, it all started so well. I don't think anybody can have any arguments with the application of the red card. It was head-to-head.
But yeah, it's just that it has raised this idea that, yes, it was a red card. There's no doubt about it. You could question, why did she feel like she had to be that upright? She could have gone lower. But it wasn't malicious. Mm. It wasn't targeted. And you think, is there this now a debate for a kind of semi-red card that's maybe a, you know, a more extended time off for 20 minutes or a 30 minutes off rather than the whole game? Although, to be fair to England, in the end, you could argue that it didn't matter because we had every opportunity to win right at the end. And actually, so it was, I mean, they played well, but it was after that red card, it was crazy, wasn't it? It was like, as soon as we got any possession in their 22, we scored. Mm. And if they got any possession in our 22, they scored. And to be honest, they dropped the ball a few times. They kept us in it a little bit, but some heroic, you know, defence from England and some heroic forward work. But, you know, we've been there before with Bristol, like when the one line out, when it really matters. And they competed. I mean, that was the big thing. They actually competed the line out. And one thing I didn't understand was at the time was that we were already on a penalty advantage piling towards the line and the ref blew it back.
Well, that I was going to say that I thought she blew very early because we were still in possession. I don't understand why she brought it back so
quickly. The only thing I can think of is that we infringed, that maybe we went off the feet or something like that. And so we infringed. So she then would have, you know, brought it back. But it seems like that seems, they just seem to be doing what most forwards do, pick the ball and run. So
and then when I had that horrible feeling line out, it got really compressed.
It did. I mean,
it looked very obvious where the ball was going to Abby Ward, and you know, it was just such a shame.
I've got to say, having said all that, the fact that that was Eden Park in Auckland, sold out for a women's game of rugby, and the atmosphere sounded absolutely superb. It kind of was poetic that the Black Ferns won it. And I think they did show a lot of ambition throwing a ball. They were a better looking rugby side on the day. There's some great, and also you've got to remember that their winger who'd scored, was their top try scorer, was basically, you know, with the head-on-head, was that was the end of the game for her. So, you know, they did have their problems. So although it was disappointing, I just felt, okay, you know, I could take this one on the chin because it was a great spectacle. And we'll come back. You know, we have basically, the women's game now is sorted, isn't it, in our country, and it can only stay that strong, and we'll be there.
It was fantastic. It was a fantastic game of rugby, and I suppose the only thing that is that real, you know, you go 30 games unbeaten. Mm. The only game you lose between the last World Cup final and this one,
we always
is the World Cup final.
That's English sport for you, though.
it is. I think over the weekend we did manage a World Cup win in the T20.
Yeah. And we almost looked like we were going to throw that away at one point,
but we did miss out on another World Cup final, losing to Samoa in the rugby league. So, one out of three on that occasion. And of course, the men were playing as well, won 52 points to 13 against Japan at Twickenham on Saturday afternoon. Our boys Sinks and Genge both started. Sinkler played 67 minutes, Genge 53. And Miles, nice try by Genge. He's just unstoppable, isn't he, when he gets that close to the line?
Yeah, he was like a couple of the tries he played, that scored with Bristol, hasn't he? You just can't bring the lad down. He is such a presence in that England squad. And I even thought Sinclair had a great game, to be honest with you, as well. He's got his mojo back. They're playing brilliant together in the first, in the front row for England. And one would hope, you know, they would carry that spirit back when they return to the West Country.
Yeah, we'll have him for Leicester and then not see him again.
Well, we've got the European games, haven't we, as well.
Did
Genji have a little kiss? Did he have a little peck on the cheek after he scored? Was it? The scrum half came and congratulated him, and he kind of. Yeah, I thought, give him a little kiss on the side of there.
Was it noticed that?
Yeah.
Oh, a little bromance.
I just think that's the measure of where Genji is. He's a he's a talisman, and he's a daddy figure now.
He's the daddy.
He is the daddy.
Yeah.
And what a player. I mean, probably, arguably, the best loose head in world rugby at the moment.
He's certainly right up there, isn't he? Right up there. And then the USA in their World Cup playoff, they won 49-7 against Hong Kong. AJ McGinty started this game. I think he kicked 12 points. So it's all set up for an interesting final round in the round robin tournament. So it will be the USA versus Portugal for the final game in the Rugby World Cup. So, you know, obviously with a bear there in AJ McGinty, wish him and the US team all the best. But actually, you know, if they don't get there, Portugal too, I think that would be their first Rugby World Cup, would be good to see for the world sport. And just staying on the women's game, of course, it's the big women's sport at Ashton Gate. Bristol City women are playing, I think they're playing Birmingham City on the, is it on the Sunday?
I believe so, yeah.
But it's Bristol Bears women versus Wasps FC. It's the first league game of the season. Miles, I think you're tempted, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. We've got no game. There's no game that I can actually see on TV. The Premiership Cup obviously is next weekend. And I believe they've sold 1,000 tickets, you've quoted TC, already. The whole of the Lansdowne stand is open. And at the moment, I've got a clear diary.
Good lad.
So I'm trying to persuade my daughter to come along. And if not, I might actually go on my own.
Yeah. Wendy surely got to be looking after the kids next week.
Yeah. Opening game of the season, 3 p.m. I should look at the weather forecast the day before, but sat in a padded seat in the Lansdowne.
Probably
going to be some cracking rugby.
We didn't mention that. No, there's more leg room in the Lansdowne as well. I was able to stretch my knee out, and then there's padding on the seats.
Absolutely.
Boys.
We came back at half time, and our seats were still warm.
Honestly, there was treacherous talk of, like, wondering whether it was even worth considering a season ticket over there.
Then we knew the price and thought, actually, yes, hopefully. I think we have said this, that we should certainly support the women's game for Bristol Bears. So it's certainly something I might keep an eye out for next weekend.
Yeah, and I'm sure lots of supporters will be down there. And, I don't know whether, you know, the Bristol 3 will play that played in the World Cup final, whether they're due a bit of rest. But, it will be good to see the league season kick off. Well, that's it for this show. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and leave a review or rating for us on your favourite podcast platform. We'll be back next week with our thoughts on the South Africa and Gloucester games, and we'll also look ahead to the trip up north to Sale. Until then, goodbye, stay lucky, and come on, Briz.